I think. Yes. Yes, it does. It definitely does. This episode of Generic Live Show is proudly brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is an uber secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to by encrypting all traffic that goes through it. It keeps your data private, your IP address completely hidden, so your location is secure. It keeps you safe from those stupid cable six strike rules and more. So say if you live in Australia and really want to pay for Netflix until in the US, well, until March, until it gets released here in Australia, ProXPN can mask your identity to make you appear wherever you want to in the world. Keep your traffic safe. Go to proxpn.com and use Geek20, that's GEEK20, for 20% off the already really low price. It's only $6.25 a month. We thank ProXPN for their support of Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show, episode number 11. Yes. Recorded the 10th of December 2014. I'm Dale Campbell, delivering your weekly dose of genericness from around Australia and the world. That's right. We are here again for another episode, and it's a jammed, packed episode with Hack Talk at the as the discussion point, because those conversations get really fun. I was saying this in the pre-show, by the way, for those watching the video, you would notice my hair is a bit wet. No, I didn't step out of the shower because of the recording setup here. I cannot have a fan on because it'll interrupt with the recording equipment, interference and what have you. And it is still currently 28 degrees Celsius outside. And that is always fun when it is boiling hot here. It's summer and it's 10:33 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, 10th of December, like I said. So let's not dink around any further and let's get into the headlines. Alrighty. First, a story that has been developing, that has been walking the development story plank all day. And it's the most confusing news story in GLS history. If I'm going to say a joke, I might as well say my own joke properly. When developing tonight's lineup earlier this morning, Torrent Frink reported that Swedish police reportedly raided the Pirate Bay. The portal has been down for several hours. The site has long hidden behind. The site has a long hidden behind the relatively lax laws in Sweden, but appears it has exhausted the longevity. The embattled site went down this morning, and Swedish police confirmed to Torrent Freak that the service was seized in a connection with a broad intellectual property operation of some kind. Quote, "There has been a crackdown on a server room in the greater Stockholm. This is a connection with violations of copyright law," end quote, read a statement from Paul Pilinta, Police National Coordinator for IP Enforcement, according to the Metro in Sweden. Yeah, according to Google Translate. The effort was initiated by Fredrik Engblad, one of Swedish special prosecutors, fire sharing. He confirms that the raid took place in the Stockholm area on Tuesday morning without specifying the site further. There were a number of police officers and digital forensics there. This took place during this morning and until this afternoon. There were several servers and computers seized. But Fredrik Imbad wouldn't exactly say how many. However, the story gets more complicated. Reliable news stories were reporting around 11 o'clock this morning that Pirate Bay was back online, however, under a new domain. But according to Torrent Freak, who posted an update to their existing article says that this is not entirely true. The domain mentioned in most of the reports were Costa Rica's based piratebay.cr, as seen in the screenshots in the article. It indeed looks like Pirate Bay. However, a 500 error whenever a search is made for torrents. A 500 error is an internal error, for those wondering. The piratebay.cr is a Pirate Bay proxy slash mirror service listed by Proxy Bay, and such relies entirely on the Pirate Bay's directory for its torrent content. Currently, it has none. The site appears to be operating out of the Netherlands and has only been widely available since October, that is the .cr version. Now, let's add a third layer to this. The confusion regarding the Pirate Bay appears to stem from the fact of some proxy, in air quotes, pages are still up when Pirate Bay goes down, as they cache some content. And as seen from these screenshots, another proxy, labia.me, displays just fine, but nothing happens when the user attempts to find torrents. Upon an internal search here at Chef Wonderhawk headquarters at 8:45 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time from the original website, the piratebay.se, and proxy sites, including the Libra Just Me, using ProxPN, the only result was a cached copy of the original site, which provided a cached version of the site from the 9th of December 2014 at 10:50 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, displaying only the homepage of the site and a non-disclosed error when links are clicked or searches are made, confirming these torrent freak reports. So, I don't know. It's one of those things of, are we really surprised that Sweden has taken down Pirate Bay? Is it really that much of a surprise? I don't think so. Not at this late stage anyway, but probably the way they did it is more surprising than anything else. Moving along very, very quickly, because we need to get through some of the headlines, which I had to axe because of that developing story taking up more time, which I did quickly breeze through. Amazon and other companies that employ warehouse workers are likely breathing a sigh of relief after the Supreme Court ruled yesterday that the online retailer does not have to pay its employees for time spent in security check lines. The court ruled unanimously, overturning the decision by a lower court that Amazon should pay for the time since the screenings benefit the company. The screens are considered a part of its employees' jobs, and the lower court rule. However, the Supreme Court disagreed. Mike Thurman, the lawyer representing the former Amazon employees, said that the decision was, quote, disappointing and, quote, bad for working men and women. The ruling eased anxieties at other companies since screen workers at the end of the shift to prevent theft, which likewise could have held accountable for back pay related to the time spent in screening lines. CVS and Apple are facing similar suits, according to the Associated Press. The Supreme Court said that the third party that engaged the employees did not specifically hire them to stand in lines, so it is not considered an integral part of their job. Federal laws exempt employers from paying for work, quote-unquote, work-related activities that happen before or after work, like waiting to punch a time clock. Thurman said that most state laws does not include this type of exclusion. Well, one would mention that theft is a big thing. Well, I don't know how big of a thing it is at Amazon, but you would think that it's important to, a certain person's role at a company. Moving on to Netflix, Down Under, because that's a story that no one's getting tired of, and more competitors for Netflix have been announced, named Presto Entertainment, the service that will add TV shows from both Seven and Foxtel, partially owned by News Corp Australia and the publisher of news.com.au, on top of the MOVE library already available on Presto. While no TV shows were originally announced yet, the service will feature a, quote, broad range of locally commissioned and internationally acquired content, including drama, comedy, factual and entertainment programming, end quote. Pricing is yet to be confirmed, but the current price for the movie-only Presto service is $9.99 Australian a month, and it should stay roughly in that same ballpark when TV is included. The service is expected to launch before March next year, when Netflix is beginning to stream in Australia, ironically enough. The number of streaming services in Australia will mean that Aussies will have to sign up for many different services to get the shows that they want, like Americans. At launch, Netflix will have exclusive streaming rights to the Batman show spin-off Gotham, while Stan will have the rights to the Breaking Bad prequel Better Call Saul. And for those who don't remember, Stan is the service offered by the Nine Network and the service that they provide. Facebook released today a list of topics that they couldn't shut up about in 2014. It's not a spoiler, but there was a lot of Ice Bucket Challenge videos in 2014, if you weren't aware. For anyone who even dipped a toe in Facebook streams this past year, this list would have come as no surprise. If this list is boring, it's only because Facebook has totally submerged in our conversations. What do we talk about to each other? Well, that's what Facebook asked. Facebook released its 2014 year in review in a video set to corny music, as they want to put that type of music in their videos. Just look at the timeline videos and Hey Friends videos. But if you don't like your heartstrings being tugged, here is exactly. Actually, I have corny music too. How about. I'm trying to find the corniest music I can. Here we go. This is pretty corny. And unfortunately, due to the way that I've got my audio set up at the moment, I cannot continue playing that, otherwise it won't pipe through the hangout, and damn it, I ruined my own joke. All right. So, the top global topics of 2014. At number 10, the Sochi Winter Olympics. Number 9, Michael Brown slash Ferguson. 8 was the Super Bowl. 7 was Malaysia Airlines. 6 was conflict in Gaza. The Ice Bucket Challenge may only made it to number 5. Number 4 was Robin Williams. 3 was elections in Brazil. 2 was Ebola virus. And number 1 was the World Cup. Who would have thunk it that the World Cup would outbeat Ebola and the Ice Bucket Challenge. Maybe that's the name of the show. Outbeat Ebola. I mean, that just has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? I might write that one down. Where is it? Outbeat Ebola. All right, there you go. That's a pretty good title. All right. We'll see. I mean, the show's not over yet, so who knows? All right. Finally, the weather team at ABC News 4 just made the most horrific live computer, just had the most horrific computer crash. Apparently, the computer that generates graphics for the TV weather forecasts failed recently. But instead of standing up there and talking in front of a blank screen, the team created some half-assed chicken scratch pen drawings on printer paper. It was brilliant. The computer did not manage to create one graphic showing severe weather alerts. It did manage to create one graphic showing severe weather alerts, but after that, the weatherman had two cuts of a shot of a guy holding up a white piece of paper with ballpoint pen sketches on them. A couple of showers tonight, end quote, the weatherman said. Quote, how many? Said the man holding up the piece of the paper, and he held up two fingers. Thusly, there will be two showers tonight. That's pretty, you know, you can either do one or two things, and this is what I learned as an actor in musical theatre. You can do one or two things. You can either improvise or you can just make a total goof of yourself. And, you know, making a goof of yourself is so much fun. So why wouldn't you just make a goof of yourself? And that's a look at the headlines. There we go. Headlines. Alrighty, we're gonna breeze past the sponsorship message. If you want to help out this network, the Geek.io network in particular, and keep this show on the air, please, please keep this show on the air. I really enjoy doing this show every week, I'm not gonna lie. geek-io.net/support. Otherwise known as the drink break of the show. Sony! Now, we didn't cover this last week, only because it was being covered to death. Covered to deck. I might write that one down to it as a show title too. Covered to all deck. Alright. So, Sony, why does Sony keep getting hacked? Well, for those who aren't familiar with why Sony keeps getting hacked, and we've got a link to Gizmodo article written by Adam Clark Estes, I think I'm saying that name right, who writes a very, very detailed article. I was about to say argument, but it's not really an argument, but it is a nice detailed discussion on why Sony has become such a vulnerable target for hackers since 2005. He narrows it down to two fundamental problems. The CDDRM, the GeoHad incident, mainly because of agonizing moves to which only response is mayhem. But more so, the poor reactions of particularly the poor reactions that Sony has had to these disasters in the past. He talked to a security expert, the author of this article did, and the unnamed expert said, quote, the crooks are able to attack the same thing because Sony's pictures wasn't going out and fixing it. It was quite astonishing. It was even more astonishing when hackers hit Sony Pictures again, and the company still hadn't secured its network. You shouldn't be able to gain access to one part of a network and get access to everything. That seems okay. I'm not a computer security geek at all. And if anyone is that, please do send me an email. I do have to get an email set up for the show, but thechefwonder@gmail.com is fine. thechefwonder@gmail.com with generic live show or GLS in the subject outline is fine. But that seems bad. Like, what if for some reason that I was able to... No, alright, I'll rephrase that. What if someone was able to get into a famous multinational company? If it doesn't seem healthy that every single department of that multinational company has its own separate secure framework. It does seem a bit funny, and that's why they are targets in this, is that once you're into the whole thing. You don't need multiple attacks. You don't need more than one try. Once you're in, you're in, and that is Sony's problem ever since 2011. The 2005 thing was separated. So let's get to the 2000. Let's cover off the 2005 thing first. The 2005 thing was the DRM on the CDs, and I remember this quite well, which is surprising. But Sony tried to put DRM protection on its music, and people get really, really sensitive. And we've talked about on this show, in fact, about what happens when people involve DRM music. Just look at the Twitch example, when Twitch started to block video on demand sites for playing DRM protected music. But putting that on a CD-ROM was huge at the time. Mind you, this is in 2005, so CDs were still a huge deal back then. So there's that. Since 2011, it's been nothing but attacks and attacks and attacks. And it seems kind of... It's bad because once bitten, twice shy, maybe. I don't know. I definitely would be, if I was a multinational company, I would A, separate security, first of all. Second of all, it's the age-old thing of, hey, don't use the same password for, you know, don't use the same password for multiple accounts. Otherwise, you'll have access to a lot more information than what people should. And it's the same mentality. I get that, but it's just, I don't know. It's kind of one of those weird oxymoron things. But, so let's break down the events. Actually, it was 2010, I should correct myself, when George Hotz tries to hack his, or Hotz, sorry, Hotz, I don't, it has a Z in it, so, you know, it gets all a bit too weird. So, he threatens to, it's a 17-year-old at the time. He almost gained notoriety to unlock his iPhone, to hack his iPhone. And he announced in December 2009 that he was trying to jailbreak his PlayStation 3. This would allow him to run pirated games. Within 2 months, he did jailbreak it, and he released to the public. He basically, Sony wasn't happy, released a firmware to patch it, of course. Sony removed the ability to run Linux, because that was the hack. And then Sony sued Holtz, plus a number of hackers who did attempt to use the code. And they settled out of court in April of 2011, when Holtz agreed not to hack into Sony products. Now, that set Sony up to a number of kind of vulnerabilities at that point. Now, I don't know. It's then you got the PSN network attacks in 2011. It cost personal details of 77 million PlayStation accounts were hacked into, costing Sony at least $171 million. Then, 21 major incidents of hacking occurred in 6 months that followed that initial announcement. And just last week, Guardians of Peace, or GOP, attacked into Sony. But what were they trying to do? Well, they're trying to... They've shown Sony that their entire network is vulnerable because of what happens of a single breach. And I wholeheartedly believe that the two Twains should not be the same. The movie network of PlayStation should not be the same as the game side. They should have two different security formalities in place. But these hacks shown that they don't, because the same hacking techniques were used. Sony needs... Sony needs to get better systems in place. And hackers are going to keep... Now that the... Not particularly the 2005 incident, but particularly because of the... because of the 2010 attacks, Sony has set themselves up in the public eye as a public target. Now, and I say this without actually, and I'm very much talking out of my behind here. And if anyone wants to email in to correct me, please feel free. This is an invitation to correct me. It's not something that's going to happen often, so please don't get used to it. But negative PR can end horribly for a company. I know that. I've studied case studies to prove this fact. But you do the best things you can to tidy up. Now, in the public perception for Sony, it doesn't look like they have tried their best to clean any of this up. Particularly from the 2010 incident, not so much the 2005, because for some miraculous reason, people forgot about CD-ROMs, and then, you know... People kind of forgot about that and kind of moved on, which is kind of a relief for Sony, I guess. But I don't know. It's I don't know. If Sony is definitely not doing what we're taught, marketers are taught to clean up the negative publicity. They're definitely not. And I've studied case studies, and BP is a good example of this. They've cleaned themselves up, and BP is a different example because it's oil in the Gulf of Mexico. It's not necessarily an attack that can reoccur, but it's definitely something that can definitely be fixed with higher security and higher, expectations as well. I don't know. It seems to me that Sony definitely needs to clean up their act in a lot of ways. Definitely. But are they going to? There seems to be no sign to, and people are just going to keep doing that, and people are going to keep attacking them because they are now held in the public light as such a victim, not a victim, but kind of such a target for this kind of behavior. It's definitely excuse me. It's definitely sad that a multi-international company where we're talking about billions of dollars here doesn't want to protect themselves from public vulnerabilities. I just don't get it. I really don't. But it's just like, well, yes, it's probably, and Sony is, and this is probably something that Sony needs to consider, is that how can they implement a plan that, yes, I can't believe these words are about to come out of my mouth, but they are anyway. How Sony can implement such a security upgrade for their systems, but in the most inexpensive way that they can. I can't believe I just said that out loud, but that's what they have to look at. They have to definitely look at. Let's look at something that doesn't affect our triple bottom line. I can't talk tonight. Yeah, I chose to do a podcast. Doesn't affect our triple bottom line and negatively impact our publicity. And I know that's a lot simpler than what it sounds, but that's realistically what they have to do. Really is. Now, let me read a comment on this article, this wonderfully wonderfully written article. Basically, it says the following. Where is it? There it is. I'm not clicking on that because that is an ad to the army and no, sorry, Navy. Holy shite! I got the Navy mistaken for the army. But anyway, the comment goes like this: when people lose their ability to speak out, instead, they just left a giant message that can't be ignored. Okay. Oh, they just leave a message that can't be ignored. The ability to talk to your local counselor, etc., is gone, like in the old days. So now, if you want to make yourself known, it's done through the cyber world. I guess, and that argument can be disputed in one of two ways. People can go, well, yes, we are living in a big, giant, Mount Scary large type of world where if you want to get your point across, you have to do the most outlandish thing ever. I get that. Trust me, I know. I do several podcasts a week because of that reason. But moreover, there are still people. There are still local people that you can go talk to about issues that are affected on the local level. There is. You can't really. It's like me going to the mayor of Cairns and going. That's the town I live in for those people who are not familiar. I have to clarify that. All right. It's going to the mayor of my town and going, hey, this Sony company, I'm not too sure about them. They seem kind of dodgy. They've just started They started putting DRM on CDs. I'm not too sure about this Sony company, eh? I don't know, it seems a bit sketchy on their part. Like, that's not gonna. There is nothing that he can do at a local level. Yes, it's a he. I just made that clear. It is a he. There's no sexism there. There's nothing that he can do on a larger scale to fix that. And that's not his role. A role of a local councillor or a local representative is to press issues in a local county or local area. And that's not necessarily a local area, these vulnerabilities that Sony purvey. That's not a local issue. That's definitely not a local issue because, one, we're talking about a multi-international company that establishes themselves worldwide in a number of an array of categories, if you will. And second of all, there's nothing that the mayor or the county representative or whatever, local representative, local councillor can do about it because they don't have the power to do so. That's realistically what it comes down to. And Sony, do you not have an educated marketing or, human resources or even management kind of department to go talk to about these particular type of things? I don't know. It seems a bit weird to me that Sony is kind of welcoming these attacks. It's really, really weird. It's really, really, really weird. It's really discomforting, and it's going to happen. And Sony's like, we don't want it to happen. Of course, we don't want it to happen. Now we have to go, describe our losses. We have to, describe loss and damages to our company. Yet they don't want to be hacked and attacked in such a cyber way. But going back to that argument, and this is my last point on this because I am rambling at this point, and it's been a long show. It's been a rushed. There's been a lot in tonight's show, definitely. But I'd say this one last point before we wrap up. If Sony wants this to stop, they have to do something. Because they are the bigger person at the end of the day. And I wouldn't necessarily say that people still go to their local councillor for issues that are relevant. This is not a relevant issue to a local councillor, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Leave your comments on the blog, chefwonder. Oh, sorry, I'll give you those details in about 2 seconds when we do officially wrap up, which we are going to do right now. But please do leave your comments and please do email me, thechefwonder@gmail.com, GLS in the subject outline. Do comment because am I wrong? Like, is it Sony's fault? And I know hackers shouldn't be doing this type of malicious behavior. I'm aware. I get it. But Sony has to be the bigger boy here. And they have to put their big boy pants on, and they have to act as a multi-international company to prevent this behavior. They do. Anyway, rant complete. It is 10 past 11 already. Jeez, it's gone long, and I ran through the headlines like the quickest headlines I've ever done with the most content. That's going to do it. All right, for those who didn't see the post on the Google Plus page, then A, what are you doing? And B, you probably listened to the podcast version anyway, so that's not important. But we have updates on the schedule for December because of Christmas and New Year's coming up rapidly quickly. But next week will be a normal show at a normal time. The last regular show of the year, sadly, the 17th of December. We will have a Christmas and New Year show. The Christmas show will be actually after Christmas, but it will be in a normal format like this. The post-Christmas episode will be on the 27th of December, which is a Saturday, I think. Yeah, 27th is a Saturday. Time is to be announced, but that's due to Wednesday being Christmas and New Year's Eve is the reason why this, and be damned if I'm doing a show on Christmas and New Year's Eve. We'll be back on the second, or the week after, we'll be back on the 2nd of January with best of 2014 show. Definitely. And we'll be back to regular programming on the 7th, I'm led to believe, if all things go well. We're back on the 7th. I have a quick recommendation before we actually head on out of here. This is a generic live show, so I can talk about anything on this show. It's a news show, I know. But I have been binge listening to the new NPR show, Serial. It's spelled exactly the way you want it to be. I know that doesn't say much. Let's see, where is it? S-E-R-R-A-L, I think. And Stitcher Radio just crashed. Fantastic. Exactly what you want to happen when you're trying to find something. Yes, Serial. S-E-R-I-L. Just do a search for that on Google and you'll find serialpodcast.com. Org. It's an amazing podcast. It's a story about a murder that happened, and it's fantastic. I've been binge listening to it all day today, so it's kind of on my mind a lot. So, but it's a fantastic show. You should listen to it. Serialpodcast.org. I've been listening to it all day, and it's amazing. They're not sponsoring the show or anything, but I thought I'd make that quick recommendation. Seeing that it made popped it into my head, and I think this audience would love it if they loved this show. So that's my recommendation of the night. Where you can leave your comments or feedback or hate mail for me is chefwonder.squarespace.com/GLS. geek-io.net/GLS, that's right, it's .net now, not .com, .net. Our Google Plus page is gplus.to/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, and the Patreon for the Geek.io podcast network is patreon.com/geek.io if you want to help us out for the show. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you all next week. Yes, next week, the 17th of December, for a regular show. But before I go, I really want to thank everyone for listening, and thank you for your feedback for the returning episode last week. It was amazing. Great show last week. So, and thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You're listening to a proud member of the Chef Wonder Podcast Network. To find out more about this and other shows, visit chefwonder.squarespace.com. Hope you like 2014.
Listening to a part of the Geek.io podcast network.
Loud noises!
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
Geek.io. Copyright 2014.
If you love comics just as much as Megan Fox, then you'll love the Comic Alliance with your hosts, CJ Boat, JD, and Alexandra Scholl, right here on Geek.io.
You're listening to Terrible Tuesday Movie Night, where we watch bad movies to save you the pain.
I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
Join us every single Tuesday as we pick a horrible grade movie and rip it apart with your host, Dale Campbell.
Yes, and the one with the guy with the hockey mask.
Right here on the Geek.io Master Feed.
Anyway, how is your sex life?